live audience, today's question is a short answer. So get your thinking brain going join us on social media, share your thoughts. Let's do it. What is public health? That's the question. What is public health? The answer will be at the end of the episode. Enjoy.
Hey y'all, I hope you're well. Welcome to another episode of Healthcare Boulevard. This is a podcast where we shine more light on healthcare, and our goal here is to provide more options to people looking to choose healthcare as a career path, regardless of their background. My name is Sena Kakpomo, and I am your host and creator here. I thank you for tuning in. I appreciate your support. Remember, you can tune in on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Without further ado, let's get into today's episode.
All right, welcome back, audience. We are here today for another interview. Let me go ahead and introduce her. Tenyamin,
yes.
Tenyamin, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, welcome to Healthcare Boulevard, Tenyamin. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
Awesome. I'm happy to hear that. So you just left work, We're communicating, and you know, I know you just left work. So let's get this into it. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, so my name is Tenyamin. I am a student right now. I'm getting my master's in public health, and I am also a disease control specialist. So I'm already working in public health because I got my bachelor's of science in public health. So yeah, that's what I do right now as a disease control specialist at the health department. I work in Maryland. So It's the county health department for Prince George's County.
Okay. And how did you get into public health? How did you make the decision to get into that field?
I always tell people that my family somehow we all were driven towards health somehow. My father was a physician or a surgeon. My mom is a nurse. Two of my sisters are nurses. And so I just have always been around health. But I got into public health because I just feel like at some point we all stop what we're doing and pay attention to our health, whether it's us or a loved one. I think it becomes a priority in life, or for some people, it is a priority in life, just taking care of yourself, because the quality of life really impacts, you know, what you're able to do, your hobbies, your goals. So I was very interested in the field to learn about what health looks like, public health, because it all is connected, the environment, animals, what we eat, our genes. So I was just very fascinated. And as you mentioned, it's not too clinical. So, I'm not drawing blood. I'm not giving vaccines. And so I like the common sense of it and the simplicity of public health to prevent illness and just have a good quality of life.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you ever think about clinical health versus public health? And if not, what made you decide to go into public health versus clinical health, you know, with like direct patient care?
Yeah, I think seeing my parents in clinical, I thought, oh, you know, it's cool how their uniforms and I admired it. But then I knew that I couldn't see myself getting so close to things like that, like the blood, the needles, the things. So I went the public health route also to avoid a lot of that, but because I was very interested in prevention. Prevention is more affordable, and it's just a better option before you have to get to a lot of the clinical aspects, which we appreciate, but I just like the aspect of prevention in public health.
Mm-hmm. Now, how would you define public health to somebody who is perhaps unfamiliar with the term?
So compared to like a physician who focuses on an individual, public health literally focuses on the population's health. One thing, something you do does impact your neighbor. So public health is addressing, we talk a lot about social determinants of health, which could be things like income, education, family. So we're looking at so many social determinants that impact your health. So what kind of community do you have? Do you have access to healthy foods in the grocery stores, or is it just corner stores with candy and chips and alcohol, or can you get vegetables? Some people don't even know what vegetables look like or how to make them. So public health looks at the community. It looks at mass interventions, if it's vaccines, if it's you know, sending out guidance. So it's about the group versus the individual, and it's mainly prevention or mitigation, which means to try to control the spread or the worsening of something.
And as far as your work, can you go a little bit more into what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Okay, so I, the disease control specialist, there are diseases that are reportable. So each state has a health department, of course, and then each county should have a local health department. So we have a database that called NEDS, and there are diseases that are reportable to the health department that are found in the community. So the division I work in is actually called communicable disease. So we get lab reports from clinics, hospitals, and we cover various categories of communicable diseases, like vaccine preventables, where you'll see like measles, mumps. So we get the labs for that, and then we have to follow up with the patient. So we also get foodborne, like salmonella. We get different types of reports, and our goal is to classify the case. And if you are considered a case, then we either exclude you from work or try to get you some medication. So we investigate also for outbreaks. So as I mentioned, we do foodborne. So we would get a report from a lab, someone tested positive for salmonella. We actually have to call them and ask them, we have a case report form. We ask them, where have you eaten the past 7 days? Have you traveled? So it gets very detailed, because we even ask, what kind of chicken? Like, did you, which restaurant, what address? So if we get a cluster of those reports, we can identify the outbreak. And sometimes, because I do work in Maryland, of course, DC and Virginia are very linked. So sometimes it's a restaurant that was in DC and our resident ate there. So we go to the restaurant, see what their food safety protocols are like, or DC would do that if it's in that jurisdiction. So yeah, we interview them. We try to get a sense of where they might've picked up the disease from, because Legionella is another one that we investigate, which is a bacteria that's found through aerosolized water. So people who might go to hotels and start having pneumonia, lung issues, we would try to get water samples from the hotel. So it was just basically investigation and trying to rule out, where were you, who were you with, is that person sick, and then try to prevent other people from getting sick, whether it's closing down a restaurant, recalling a food, or inspecting a hotel or something like that.
It's very fun for me to hear this. I did my bachelor's in public health, and was I was not expecting to love it. I almost did my master's in public health, but I decided to go clinical at least first. I still probably might. Here's a question for you. I'm being on the clinical side, and as a provider, I have had situations, and I'm sure other providers, especially in primary care, we are working together in some situations where, you know, let's, especially on STDs, for example, you know, I know I've had some patients who tested positive, and by the time we found out they tested positive for, let's say, syphilis, we were having a hard time reaching out to them. And that can be very common in, depending on the area you're in and the geographic or the type of patient you're dealing with, or whatever hardship they may be going through. And then And then we'll get a call from the health department who's like, oh, X, Y, and Z tested positive for syphilis. Did you treat them? And we're like, we really have been trying to reach out to them. But what are you guys able to do in that situation, especially that we are not, perhaps we may not be able to do on the clinical side?
Yeah, I mean, reaching out to patients, keeping up to date with their address, phone number. Sometimes they just don't want to be found. Our division is separate from the STI division, but I do know that they, before the pandemic, used to do field visits, which I really admire them for because you never know who some people are feisty over the phone. Imagine you showing up at their door. So sometimes we do field visits. And actually, even for us, when Ebola was happening again a couple of months ago, we were told to go out and see and give letters to people who we thought might have been maybe on a plane with someone who had it. So sometimes we do drop off letters to the addresses that we have. We try to go out and find them. But yeah, you're absolutely right. I know there are a few apps or, we had a meeting about different companies coming up with ways to keep up with patients better. So there's a lot of work to be done with public health, I think, and technology to help us reach the client or the patient.
And then on top of that, as far as public health is concerned and then patient care, how, if at all, interact, how much interaction is there between public health and clinicians, and what are the situations, other situations perhaps that may happen, that interaction may exist?
Yeah. So the county I work in, Prince George's County, is the second largest county in the state of Maryland, almost a million people. So we have a very diverse population. Some people are English speaking, some are not. And we have a lot of just, it's a melting pot. So we do get people sometimes that just call us and they haven't been to the doctor, or we get a report, a lab report that they have some communicable disease, and then we end up learning more that they don't have insurance. So we try to refer them to the hospital. We do, there are a few hospitals I can think about that we have a good relationship with, and we have clinics in the county that really help us. So we try to refer them as best as possible to get some kind of care. But I think especially during the pandemic, we have been in touch with doctors a lot, just what are the new protocols, the updated guidelines for COVID. So there's a lot of communication. I do think it could be stronger, but I think we're always just so busy to
There's
try
plenty of
to.
work to go around both eye, right? And then we know a lot more people, I would say at least, heard more from the CDC and pay more attention to organizations, health, public health organizations like the CDC, NIH, FDA during the pandemic, especially and thereafter. What role do the people or personnel in your position play into sort of feeding into those decisions that are made for public health guidelines that are then sort of put out and enforced, so to speak, and educated on by, clinicians on the ground?
Yeah, so I was very intrigued to see how the response goes, especially when it's a huge deal. And it's just that the federal government, so like the CDC, would recommend to the state, then the state would recommend to the county. And so my supervisors and the health officers did play a big role in deciding what our jurisdiction was going to do. So as many people are aware, it wasn't just one blanket mandate for everyone throughout, like for most of the pandemic. So it feels good to work in a place. I know my supervisor, she does really admire from the ground up. You all are the ones talking to people. What are you thinking? What are you seeing? What do they need? So we did speak to our supervisors, who took it to the health officer, and then we had county mandates. And it was more so that it seems like, from my opinion, that the clinicians were looking to us for guidance. And especially in the beginning of the pandemic, a lot of people were like, oh no, I don't know what this is. You handle, call the health department, you just call them. So it was, we were just pushed out into the front, and it was just, it was crazy. But I think, but even without COVID, with any other thing, sometimes they do call to get updated information. What's the right test? What is, you know, and think, because things are always changing. So yeah, it was definitely great to have your voice heard when it came to our, at least our jurisdiction, and what guidelines we were going to follow and a mandate.
Okay. And would you agree with the statement that, as far as coming from, starting from the bottom of that pyramid of personnel, that what you guys are doing on the ground help educate or help make the decision as far as policies, and then the policies help the way you conduct your investigation? Is that what I'm understanding?
Yes, it's nice that the health department has started having more conversations with us. The health officer would get on meetings monthly and ask us, what do you all think? And they ask more for our input now, which has been very helpful. It definitely helps the process, because it takes a lot to implement something. Resources go into it, and then it might not work, and or the morale is not there, because everyone's like, well, why are we doing it this way? This doesn't make sense. And if you just stop and ask the core staff on the ground sometimes, what are you seeing, what do you think, it, you know, we all have the same common goal. And of course, at the end, we respect the leadership, but implementing what, because it's just the reality of it. We're just telling you the reality, so you don't have to guess what the problem is. This is the problem, or this is what we're seeing. So it definitely does help. And I look forward to seeing how implementing our feedback, how that can help improve our processes at the health department.
Now, back a little bit into your education, you are working currently with a completed bachelor's degree, and you're working on your master's degree. Once you're done with your master's degree, what will be the difference in your responsibilities and position versus what you're doing now?
I realized that I really would like more of a leadership position, and a lot of the jobs that I see, they do prefer the master's degree. So I think that there is going to be a huge difference in just the opportunities I get, and the confidence that I have in myself after completing the degree. I really try to go through this process thinking about this. Like I really enjoyed my public health and finance class, because it's very scary. You're dealing with a budget, or, you know, with millions of dollars, and you have to allocate things. So just my confidence to even apply for certain roles. So I've always been told that you should get your master's in public health if you want to continue. And the more I look at jobs, I can see that that is true. Like it sometimes is who you know, because I have people with bachelors who are working at jobs that I never even, you know, I'm like, wow, I wish I could get into that one. Right. So it varies, but it does help. So I'm expecting more leadership positions. I do want to transition out of so much interaction with the population and more with stakeholders. So I want to know, we talked about like the hospitals, for example. I want to be more of a liaison for hospitals, other community health organizations. What are you doing? How can we help each other? So I want to leave dealing with the public, doing interviews, and do more leadership, coordinating. So I think with my master's, I will have that opportunity.
And how is work-life balance with your position?
I'm very grateful that taking time off is quite simple if you were able to beat someone else to that week or that day, you will likely get approved to be off. So like if I want to take off next week, I at this point, you know, I can. So I definitely appreciate that about my job. And so it's very busy, and it can be very draining too when you have someone calling, someone emailing. There's always something to follow up on. And as I've mentioned, it's not just one subject matter. It's rabies, it's malaria, it's salmonella. So it's like all day the wheels are just turning, and you have to keep reading and looking at what are the updates for this. So it can be draining, and so I definitely try to find the balance for myself. I appreciate that my job allows me to take time off, and also to telework. We have telework days, which that helps because in the morning you can wake up gently, take care of yourself,
You mean you don't have
and
to
brace
jump
yourself.
out of bed
Yeah.
at the start of your alarm?
Yeah.
Funny.
Exactly. So it's
Okay.
good. It's
Okay.
manageable.
That's good. And what do you do for fun?
I am an introvert and an extrovert. I love weekends where I can organize my space and clean and just sit at home. And then I like being outdoors, so a lot of hiking, biking. And I also like celebrations. You know, anyone who tells me, oh, a wedding, baby shower. So I like just wandering, exploring my neighborhood, traveling. So just I'm pretty laid back, but I like variety. I like downtime, and then I like to see people. I like listening to music, trying new recipes. So yeah, just those kind of hobbies. I really like being outside and getting a breath of fresh air. So just a good balance.
Okay. What would you say is or are some of your challenges or challenge in your position right now or in your field in general?
Yeah, I think one thing I notice is the expectation that the public has, and the power, the human power that we have. Staffing, you know, like it would help if the work was divided between more people. And it gets frustrating, but I can also understand when someone's like, I've been calling, I've been emailing, no one has gotten back to me. They have no idea how many people want a response. So I think just having more hands on deck is a challenge. And I've noticed that even when I speak to other types of organizations, or yeah, so just having more people. And then it's one thing can take a lot of time. So like sometimes you get a medical record, the number's wrong, or you know, you have to do a lot of running around. You have to interview the patient, which can take a while, and then you have to fill out the form, you have to enter it into the database. So it's the process, it can take a while. So those are the two things, just having more people, and the work that you're doing itself can be lengthy for one thing. You know, you think, oh, I've done so well. Then you look at your to-do list and you still have a bunch of other things still waiting for you. So that's definitely a challenge.
And I'm sure it's not getting any easier with every, old or new infectious disease popping out of the ground left and right.
Exactly. I feel even worse for my supervisors. I'm like, this is what I'm aiming to be in the leadership position. And so I'm really getting a good, because their phones are always ringing, the state health department, the state vet, the airport, you know, like travelers, like does this person need to be quarantined? Yeah, they're pretty busy.
I had a patient last time who already tested positive and had a couple other issues that we were addressing, and he was like, should I get tested for monkeypox? And I'm like, we are gonna stick to the things we're dealing with right now. That's
One
just
thing at
what we're
a
gonna do,
time.
please. Like
Let's deal with it. I'm like, this is urgent care nonetheless. Like, let's deal with it. You're already bringing me three chief complaints, you know, let's stick to it.
They were like, while I'm at it, I might as well.
Right, you know how it is. I'm like, no, let's not do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can only imagine mm-hmm. what you guys are going through. Now, as far as professional aspiration for you, just in general and long term, what is your ultimate goal professionally?
I would like to, where I'm interning right now, it's a consulting business, actually. Mm-hmm. So they do, they're involved with so many things, the food pantry, diabetic programs. So they, the owner, the founder, she is just so admirable. I would either like to play the role of a program chief or, you know, some senior management, or maybe even start my own consulting type of business where, mm-hmm. yeah, just to get involved as a community organization and continue public health that way. So mm-hmm. with my master's, I'm also looking into other certifications like the PMP, the project management certification, mm-hmm. just to, so I can keep putting myself in positions that I can be a good leader. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would like to go. I look at a lot of job descriptions that are like the senior analyst, mm-hmm. advisor, mm-hmm. Coordinator. So yeah, that's where I would like, I want to be, have a seat at the table, and I really want to impact the process, because mm-hmm. from this viewpoint, I've started to question like, why do we do it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Or, I like that we do it this way. Mm-hmm. I want other, you know, so I just want to make more of an impact, have a voice.
Yeah, right. That's understandable. And what are you getting? I know it's public health, but is it global health? What exactly mm-hmm. are you specializing in for your master's?
So I decided to just do a general MPH.
Okay.
And I usually tell people that that's, I think, a very safe way, route to go. I know you could do biostatistics or mm-hmm. epidemiology,
right.
which is pretty much what I am in. But I think having the general MPH and then getting experience where you're interested in mm-hmm. will be very advantageous. And then mm-hmm. maybe looking into certifications, if you want to do public health as something clinical or public mm-hmm. health and something with the environment, maybe find other ways to make that part of your resume stand out, because I started totally into epi and now I mm-hmm. find myself looking into policy mm-hmm. and program management. So I'm glad I didn't just do epidemiology.
Not
that that really matters sometimes on your resume, but I just mm-hmm. like that big option of a master's in public health and then find experiences or certifications that align with your interests,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Okay, mm-hmm. so as far as master MPH, you can get the general MPH like you're doing, or do the like specialization like MPE mm-hmm. or like global health and so forth. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last question before I let you go. Any word of advice for anyone interested in public health?
Stay curious, I would say, and stay independent, because there's so much information. There's so many ways that you can go, like mm-hmm. just discuss global health, epi, environmental health, occupational health. I mean, there's so many ways you can go. So my advice would be to stay curious and connected. Someone advised me to even look into my local public health association, become a member. I think I haven't done that yet, but that was really good advice, where you can have access to networking, because I think mm-hmm. public health, yeah, definitely it's networking.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. just staying curious and really trying to submerge yourself into what it's like to be in this field. Are you patient? Do you care about the public? Like, really try to visualize you have that curiosity to visualize what is a day at work going to look like for me, and try to put yourself in the in those experiences as best as possible. And you can never stop learning with public health. So if you're not a curious person, if you're not willing to be resourceful, I don't know if you know it would be the best thing to do, because you're always having to look into things, look things are always changing. So you have I would recommend just being someone who can be curious and optimistic, put yourself out there and see what happens. Network.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate you taking the time with your busy schedule. Hopefully you're not working tomorrow and you can enjoy the weekend.
Oh no, I'm not. Tomorrow's my hiking day, actually. So
Good.
I'm
Good.
excited.
That's good. I'm trying to do the same tomorrow. So try to figure
Oh,
out the logistic of the day. Because it
yeah.
gets pretty hot. It's summer over here and it gets pretty hot pretty fast. So it's either you go early in the morning before it burns up or you go later once the sun's starting to go
Especially with
down.
all the heat waves going on right now, you definitely want to be out there early or just lay low.
I made that mistake. Like we've been going for quite some time, especially earlier in the year. So when the summer hit, I was like boom, boom, boom. And usually we don't drink water during the thing and then during the hike. And then I was like, okay. And then it warmed up real fast. And I was like, oh no, I'm feeling lightheaded. It was still like spring or something. It's summer. It's here.
We're in the thick of it.
Yeah, it's happening. It's happening. But yeah, no, thank you so much again. I hope you have a beautiful weekend and continue to do the great work you're doing.
Oh, thank you so much. And I appreciate this. I think what you're doing is great for others to listen in. I listen to other podcasts that you've done, and I've learned a lot, and I'm going to continue listening. So thank you for this Healthcare Boulevard. It's really good.
I appreciate that. I'm happy to hear that. All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. And this answer is straight from the APHS, which is American Public Health Association. Public health promotes and protects the health of people and communities where they live, learn, work, and play. While a doctor treats people who are sick, those working in public health try to prevent people from getting sick or injured in the first place. They also promote wellness by encouraging healthy behavior. I'm sure more and more of you hear more about public health and the public health organizations throughout the pandemic. I really hope you all enjoy my discussion with the guests. That's it. Ciao.
All right, that's all I have for you today. Thank you again for joining me. I appreciate you. Please subscribe, follow, like, comment, and share. And stay blessed. Bye.